Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. The title is Zara de Khot o Faiz Khan Kahi. Macha degi wo bahi me tabahi. Na kar e dost har giz bad nigahi. مچا دے گی وہ باہی میں تباہی نہ کر اے دوست ہرگز بد نگاہی چتائی پر ملے گا تخت شاہی اگر حاصل کرو عشق الہی غضب سے تو اگر مغلوب ہوگا بکے گی پھر زباں واہی تباہی چتائی پر ملے گا تخت شاہی اگر حاصل کرو عشق الہی غضب سے تو اگر مغلوب ہوگا بکے گی پھر زباں واہی تباہی حسینوں سے اگر ملنا نہ چھوڑا نہیں پہنچے گا دربار الہی حسینوں سے اگر ملنا نہ چھوڑا نہیں پہنچے گا دربار الہی وہی پہنچا ہے دربار خدا میں ملی ہے جس کو آہِ سحرگاہی وہی پہنچا ہے دربار خدا میں ملی ہے جس کو آہِ سحرگاہی ہوئے ہیں رند کتنے اولیاء بھی ذرا دیکھو تو فیض خانقاہی ہوئے ہیں رند کتنے اولیاء بھی ذرا دیکھو تو فیض خانقاہی کھلا کیا راز سلطان بلخ پر فقیری لی ہے دے کر تاج شاہی کھلا کیا راز سلطان بلخ پر فقیری لی ہے دے کر تاج شاہی گزا اس نفس شرکس کی تو کم کر نخواہ ہر روز ظالم مرغ ماہی گزا اس نفس کے شرکش کی تو کم کر نکھا ہر روز ظالم مرغ ماہی جو اہل دل کی صحبت میں رہے گا وہی پائے گا بس عشق الہی جو اہل دل کی صحبت میں رہے گا وہی پائے گا بس عشق الہی ملی اختر جسے نسبت خدا کی مٹا دی اس نے باہی اور جاہی ملی اختر جسے نسبت خدا کی مٹا دی اس نے باہی اور جاہی مچا دے گی وہ باہی میں تباہی نہ کر اے دوست ہرگز بد نگاہی.
الحمد للہ وکفا وسلام علی عباده الذین اصطفا. This beautiful poem of our Shaykh, and Hazrat in every line of his has opened up such great knowledge, ma'rifat of Allah Ta'ala, how to get closeness to Allah, what the object of life is, etc. So Hazrat says here, the title of this poem, Zara dekho to faiz-e khanqai, look a little bit what are the benefits of the khanqah, what great benefits come from it. And all this, whether it's a khanqah, whether it's Darul Ulooms, whether it's Tabligh Jamaat, whatever work of deen, it is that if deen comes alive, not only the effort that is there, but deen comes alive. If in a Darul Uloom there is only teaching and students excel and become very good alims, but deen doesn't come in their lives, then we have failed. The same way with Tabligh Jamaat, if a lot of work is carrying on, lot of Jamaats are going out, but deen is not coming alive. And what does it mean that deen? That in our lives deen must be coming. And one outward practical first thing that we have to check, our namazes. If we are regular, pabant with our namaz. And then whether we are full or reading our namazes in full, whether we have got concentration in namaz, whether we are always with the first takbir, takbir ula, that is when deen is coming. And what Hazrat mentions here in this poem, all those things, our anger, if that is under control, tongue is under control, then deen is coming alive. But if our tongue is not under control, our eyes are not under control, our ears are not under control, we're listening to backbiting, music, all haram things, then with all the effort also, we didn't reach anywhere, and we didn't achieve anything. So even in the khanqah, it's not just a matter of coming for majalis, having majalis, but we all have to measure ourselves. Is deen coming in my life? Is my namaz improving? Is my character improving? I may be so many years in the khanqah, but if these things are not coming in me, then it's just an outward ritual, just an outward form, but the reality is not there. Machadegi wo bahi mein tabahi, na kare e dost hargiz bad nigahi. The first thing Hazrat emphasizes here, and that we should check ourselves, that is deen coming in my lives, this one aspect. That if a person makes bad nigahi, doesn't control his gazes, looking at other women, and worse than that, not only looking, what follows from there, fantasizing then. And then if it is worse than that, and a person tries and make a relationship with a woman, etc., all this, Hazrat says, this will lead, machadegi wo bahi mein tabahi. In your bahi, your lustful, the gunas which are connected with your lust, with your desires, it will cause chaos in there. If you don't look after your gazes, and Hazrat used to explain that this is Allah's great, great favor, that He cut the terrible gunas and consequences, terrible consequences of divorce, children becoming orphans with their parents living when a divorce takes place, and lot of other problems when a person gets involved with other women, etc. And if he has to get involved in HIV, in AIDS, etc., all this starts from the eyes. So Allah's great favor, Allah cut all that consequences out by you just look after your gazes. Don't look at haram. So then you are safe from so many other things. And in this world, for example, whoever is working on the disease of AIDS and the remedy, how lot of detail there is in there. How many doctors, how many hospitals, how many medicines, what and what. There are AIDS centers. treatments for AIDS, etc. All that, if you just look after your eyes, none of this you need. And if it comes into everyone, all of this will get closed. So it's a matter of just looking after one's gazes. So this is that if we are coming to the Khanqah and we are taking the benefit of the Khanqah, then we will be looking after our gazes. From the gazes, and some of us, we are such that Allah has blessed us that we are in such environments where we don't even come in contact with other women. Others who are surrounded by women at their workplaces all the time, they are around, surrounded, so it's more difficult for them. But if a person makes effort, there too a person can come out and, as Hazrat should say, and get a first class pass, even in those very, very difficult environments. And all of us, wherever we have to, if we have to go to the to a supermarket, we have to go to shopping malls, airports, etc. There, all this environment exists there. So there, a person must be very careful. And as Hazrat used to explain, that if a person goes there in a neutral form, that is, he did not make the niyat of looking at woman, and neither did he make of the woman the niyat that I won't look at woman. He's neutral. He didn't make any niyat that when I'm going to the shopping mall, I'm going to the bank, I'm going to the airport, and he didn't make a niyat that I'm not going to look at woman, and neither did he make a niyat that I will look at woman. He's going in a neutral form. That person will definitely look at woman. So Hazrat used to say, you must put yourself, make that niyat that I'm not going to look. And with that in mind, and all that, with that consciousness, then a person will safeguard himself. And it is such that still you will have to, perhaps some eyes will fall on other women, but if you went with that niyat, you'll be conscious. And immediately again, you'll reprimand yourself. And you'll try and look after yourself more. But if you don't go with that niyat of not looking, then you will look. And not only look, then you'll even perhaps share a word with somebody. And then that can lead to more, and it can lead to even more. And great, great harm can come from there. So we have to see that our coming to the Khanqah, whatever deeni work we are involved in, tabligh work, Darul Uloom, where the deen is coming. And this is one major part of deen, to look after our eyes. And then there are so many things there are. When we don't look after our eyes, then one of the curses of that is now that other street women, filthy women, dirty women, they appear very beautiful in our eyes. And now that desire comes in us that we must have some contact with them. And our own beautiful halal wives, they don't have any appeal now in our eyes. Now we don't get enjoyment. Allah snatches away that enjoyment. Just like today with our food also, that we have got so accustomed to all the junk food, the takeaway foods, that good food doesn't appeal to us anymore. Today, plain water, even Zamzam water doesn't appeal to us. The Coke and the Pepsi, all the cold drinks and all other things appeal to us. But plain ordinary water, Zamzam water, that doesn't appeal to us. This is a curse from Allah. When we turn away from the right and we go in the wrong, then this is a punishment that is put on us. Then other things, the haram things, appeal to us, and they are very enjoyable to us. And the halal, the right things, become detestable. We don't want to engage in those things. So looking after the eyes is one very important thing. The first lesson in this poem Hazrat has taught us. Chatai par milega takht shahi agar hasil karo ishq-e ilahi. If you will acquire the love of Allah tabaruk wa ta'ala, then on chatai, grass mat, very very simple mat, you will find the thrones of the kings, the thrones of the palaces you will find in this grass mat. That is, your life will be very very simple. Just the basics of life you will have. but you have the love of Allah in your heart, then you will be like you are sitting on the throne of the king. And what enjoyment. In what place Hazrat mentioned that these people who have found that, and then people want to give them honor in this dunya. They say, don't humiliate and don't disgrace us. They look at this pleasure, comfort, enjoyment of this dunya as a disgrace. And a simple, basic, down-to-earth life, food, clothing, they will just want the very simple. And in that they will find great, great enjoyment. And this Mufti Zainul Abidin Sahib Rahmatullah Ali at one time explained that when a person follows this one great sunnat, al-bazazatu min al-iman, simplicity is a major part of iman. So he says, a person, if he gets that, he works towards getting the simplicity, then he will find himself that he relieves himself of so much of problems, difficulties, and our lives become the true lives of deen. For example, in eating, Hazrat explained that if you want an exotic meal and you want a very enjoyable meal, very rich meal, then for that you have to earn so much. And he explained that your own earning is not enough. Now your wife will also have to go out and earn, because you want the whole lifestyle. But just this one aspect, we're talking of eating. And then to prepare that meal, it will be so much of work also. How many things are required, and before the actual meal, all the other preparation for that. In the cooking, it's not just for example, you eat simple food, you just put your food in the pot, your little oil, whatever, and you cook it. But with all these other things, all other preparations have to be made. And then, of course, when it is such a meal, then the savouries, and then the starters, and then the desserts, and what goes in there. Then the amount of time, the shopping for it. Many things are such, we know there are people, they will, when people are coming from Pakistan, for example, they'll say, please bring that that ingredient for us. Coming from India, bring that ingredient. And people even go for shopping for all that. Not to other towns or something, other countries. To go and get this from that country, that from that country. So how much of your time, how much of your thoughts are all gone in those things. And then the preparation, and then that exotic meal, that very special meal, you can't just serve it in a simple way. You just sit down, you get your plate, your food comes in the pot. You dish out from the pot, you eat with your roti and it's over. Now it can't be like that. Now that the dasturkhan is to be set like that also. The table has to be set like that, and all the other extra things that go with that also. Then you need some flowers on that table also, and you need so many other things also. How many things go in there? Then one plate is not enough, and you and your wife share and you eat from your one plate. Now not only one plate, as we usually say, that first 10 people used to eat from one kuncha, a big dish. But now one person needs 10 utensils. We got our big plate, we got a small plate, then there is a bowl in there, then there is a spoon there, and many places they put a knife and fork also. Though you're not going to eat, use it, but it's also put there. 10 utensils for one person. So that whole dasturkhan, what preparation. And then an ordinary tablecloth is not good enough also. It also has to be of a very special quality. How many things go in there? Then for eating such a meal, the time is not just 10 minutes and your meal is over. You had your meal? No. Whereas 10 minutes, 15 minutes, you can have your meal comfortably. If it's a simple, ordinary meal, in a short while you can have it. No problem. Very easy. So the time also is not enough. Now you have to have more time. Consequently, we find that almost all the masjids that started perhaps in the 90s or round about there, that before Zohar Namaz was general, 1 o'clock Adhan, quarter past 1 throughout the year. But then public holidays, Sundays, or everywhere, it started somewhere and it caught on like wildfire in all the masjids. Now Sunday, public holiday, there is a clear notice, Zohar is earlier. And what is the reason? If it is takseer a jamaat to get a bigger jamaat, that could be justifiable. But the object is that we want to finish with our namaz, then we can sit down to our hearty meal. Okay? So we even adjusted our namaz for our meals. Namaz, which is the prime object in our life, that also we made an adjustment in there, so that Allah shukar, we're making namaz, alhamdulillah. How many others don't even make namaz? We're making namaz, but we adjusted namaz, we pushed in namaz, we pushed it out of its place to allow for our meal. And then we sit, and normally then we're sitting at a table with the chairs, and those chairs also got armrests also. And we are sitting like big, proud people there, and sitting in such a position that you eat maximum. When you are sitting on the floor and the proper sunnah postures, then you minimize your intake of food also. But when you're sitting like that, then your stomach is fully open and you fill your stomach. So the time also, and then all the conversation that goes, then the cleaning up of all that again, and the amount of wastage that goes in there again, and then the diseases, the illnesses that come from there, eating rich food, and normally such a lifestyle, you don't digest that food. There is nothing like you do any physical thing to digest that food. Even as Hazrat Mufti Mahmood Sahib Rahmatullah Ali explained to us at one time, one person of that lifestyle ate his food, as we will say, to his neck, right to here. And now he couldn't even move, so much he had eaten. So they called the Hakim, and they asked him that now he must treat him. So he gave him some powder. That have this powder, it will digest your food. So he said, you're a stupid. Your father, who was also a renowned Hakim, is also a stupid. And your grandfather was also a great renowned Hakim, is also a stupid. That if I had place, I would put another pie in my stomach. What must I do with this powder? That also he didn't, now just to digest this food, just that little powder and drink water on it, and it will help to digest the food, that also he doesn't want. So this is what our condition becomes then. Then the cleaning up of it again, and everything, how much, and if you are down to simplicity, Mufti Sahib, Rahmatullah Ali explained, to prepare the food, you need a little money, because it's simple food. And to get the ingredients, it's all around you. You don't even have to go anywhere. And especially like India and Pakistan, many places, the people come and sell at the houses. You don't even have to go to a shop. And they bring fresh. But I don't know now, but it's not long ago, that three times a day they will come with fresh garden vegetables. And you can buy your morning vegetables fresh, your afternoons that fresh of that time, and your night that fresh of that time. You don't have to buy, we buy, and we are proud. Everything of ours is frozen. Our vegetables frozen from the frozen vegetable, meat frozen, everything frozen, all in the deep freeze. And then from there into the microwave, which is the fire of Jahannam we put it in. And from there we put it in our stomachs. So all that. But these people, simple life, you don't even have to go out for your shopping. And you hardly need a big stove. Today we've got an electric stove, got a gas stove also, we got a microwave oven also, and then we got a eye level oven also. Well, how many things all? You don't need all this. So just this one thing, if we bring under control, if you get ishq-e ilahi, the love of Allah Ta'ala, then all these things are out of your life. Then there is no difficulty in living a life. No matter what even restrictions come, you are living on the basics. For you, it doesn't mean anything whatsoever. But if we have fallen into all this luxury and all the things which are un-Islamic, all that kind, then a little bit problem, a little bit the water didn't come, load shedding, we got a big problem. Anything else, this is not available, that is not available, it becomes a big problem. All this can be sorted out if we acquire ishq-e ilahi. Then sitting on a simple grass mat, that also will feel proud. Proud in the sense of shukr and the comfort that we are enjoying, what we are getting there. And really, without any doubt, the kings in their palaces can't dream of the enjoyment which we are getting here in the simplicity. They have got shaho ki siro pe, on the heads of the kings, taj gira se, because of that heavy weight of the crown, or because of all the responsibilities, shaho ke siro pe taj gira se, akthar se dard sa rehta hai. All the time they got headaches. Whether it is because of the heavy crown or their responsibilities. Now they got this worry, now that worry, now uprising in this province, now in that province something else. All the time they got worries. And you lived a simple life, you got no worries. Your one thing is your one worry, the worry of having Allah. And I mustn't displease Allah Ta'ala. And that also becomes a pleasure for a person. So Allah, so ishq-e ilahi, we all have to measure ourselves. How much of ishq of Allah Ta'ala have we got? One student, mashallah, very deep thinking and a very good student. He asked such a valuable question. So today he asked, like, if a person, many people feel that in Jannat, the Hurul Een that a person will get, all the food that will be there, the palaces that will be there, then in there a person understands that we'll get enjoyment. And to see Allah Ta'ala, that we don't, that there's no enjoyment for us. We would all prefer just to have all the enjoyments of Jannat, the food, the woman, the all the palaces, all the comforts, all what great namas. But who of us thinks that to be in the company of Allah, whereas that is such a superior thing, that all the namas of Jannat, not that they will be inferior, like they don't exist in front of seeing Allah Ta'ala. Now that will be in Jannat, the namas of Jannat, by and large, it will be for all the occupants of Jannat. And they are those people who worked for it, they made ibadat, they stayed away from guna, and they got all that. But even here in this world, there are few that who have that ishq-e ilahi, and they want to see Allah. And that is the greatest ni'mat. In front of that ni'mat, it will be such a ni'mat that all the ni'mats of Jannat, not that they are inferior, like they don't exist. So what a great ni'mat that is. All that a person can get with ishq-e ilahi, when he finds the love of Allah. And his whole life he was making namaz, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ. It is only you that we worship, but we didn't see our Allah. Who we are worshipping, we don't see. And when we make our namazes in the correct way, then the desire will, strong desire, Allah, I want to see you. Like Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, who is the only Nabi who is known as Kalimullah, who spoke to Allah, just listening to the voice and the speech of Allah. He was so prompted that he said, Rabbi arini anzur ilayk. Oh Allah, when your voice is so sweet, I want to see you. Then Allah said, in this world, lam tarani. You can't see me in this world. So those who develop that ishq in Jannat, they will get that ni'mat. And there are those who will see Allah Ta'ala once a year, after a long time, others monthly, others weekly, others daily, and others whenever they want to. They are given the honor and opportunity to go and see Allah. And the Allah who is the creator of Jannah. So he, who is more superior, the creator or the creation? The creator is the one who created. The creation is nothing in itself. Even Jannat sir aankho pe. Jannat, our sheikhs would say, we honor and we respect and we want Jannat. But in front of Allah, what is Jannat also? So a person who, Allah who is the creator of the beauty of those hurul een of Jannat, of the food and the fruit and the palaces of Jannat, how much more beautiful is not Allah Ta'ala? And when a person gets the enjoyment, ishq-e ilahi, the enjoyment he gets in his tilawat of Quran Sharif, in his dua, in his dhikr. One time, Hazrat was in Mauritius, on his safar, and a Tabligh Jamaat from South Africa was also there, and they narrated this to us. They went, and after Fajr, Hazrat started speaking about the love of Allah Ta'ala. And then after a while, Mir Saab, who's Hazrat's special attendant, Khadim, he came, Hazrat, breakfast is ready. So Hazrat didn't pay any attention. He came, he told the breakfast has gone cold. We have heated it up for the second time. Hazrat didn't pay attention. He came after a while, the third time. Hazrat became very angry. He says, I am giving all breakfast of the love of Allah. And you are talking of this breakfast here? Otherwise for us, that hot eggs, and fried eggs, and whatever else that is in the breakfast, that our mouths water for that. But Hazrat used to say, my mouth waters for the love of Allah Ta'ala. Once we were with Hazrat in Malawi, and I asked Hazrat the meaning of this poem, jazme parra hosh rahe, aur akal meri hairan rahe, lekin tujhse ghafil hargiz, mera dil ek aan na rahe. Hazrat was lying down, Hazrat got up, he sat, and with great enjoyment he started explaining it. In other words, to talk of Allah, that was Hazrat's food. That was everything, and the love of Allah Ta'ala. So if we coming to Khanqah, and we not developing that love of Allah, and the measurement of it is to see our life, that if more simple life is coming, more sunnat life is coming, innal bazazata min al iman, when that will come in our life, we will get this enjoyment of iman, the sweetness of iman. Inna halawat al iman idha dakhal al qalb, when the sweetness of iman enters the heart, lam yakhruj minhu abada, it never goes out. Hazrat Maulana Gagohi Rahmatullah Ali explained to Maulana Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali that we ask of Allah, we make dua that Allah must be pleased with us forever. So Hazrat said, that is not the method of that dua. Just make dua to Allah that Allah must be pleased with you. Once Allah is pleased, He never becomes displeased with you again. So we just have to find, but we must not be fooled that I got the pleasure of Allah. Shaitan deceives us, and we live this ghaflat of ours, unmindfulness. We are in guna and we are thinking we are the favorites of Allah. And everyone's guna is different. We look at the guna of other people and we see that guna is not in me. But everyone's guna is separate. Parents' gunas are different from the children's guna. The ustad's gunas are different from the student's gunas. Ustad focuses on the gunas of the student, and he forgets his gunas, what he's involved in. A sheikh's guna is different from his murid's guna. And even a sheikh is all the time. And if a person is not conscious of his Islam, then that person also gets misled, and he goes in the wrong direction. Which beautifully he said, that if a person is not worried of his Islam, to wo muslih kya rahega, what is he going to correct other people? Khud salih bhi nahi rahega. He won't be even a righteous person himself, with the title of a sheikh, and sheikhul mashayikh also, and sheikh of so many murids and other khalifas also, but he will be gone astray. When we are not conscious, and unfortunately, this is across the board. All of us, we think, the ulama think of the gunas of the public. Of course, the public's gunas are not in the ulama, but the ulama's gunas are of a different type. And shaitan is that chalak, that so shrewd he is, that everyone in his field, he destroys that person. Husband's eyes are on the gunas and the wrongs of the wife. And his own wrongs he doesn't see. The wife's eyes are on the husband's wrongs, that how he treats me, what he does. But her own wrongs she doesn't think. That ghaflat, that we don't think of our own condition. We are so worried of others that we have forgotten ourselves. So that is a great thing. Ghadab se tu agar maghloob hoga, bakegi phir zuma, wahi tabahi. Another very great aspect of our Islam is our anger. If your anger is not under control, if you are controlled by your anger, one beautiful Turkish alim has said that don't look at Islam with the eyes of the people and the times, what's happening now in the world, all this guna and that, with that eyes we want to look at Islam, we'll never get a proper picture of Islam. To understand that principle, Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayhi said, if you want to look at all the things in the skies, have the moon, the stars, etc., don't use a microscope. You won't see anything. And if you want to look at molecules and germs in a thing, don't use a telescope. So you have to use the correct instrument to see and get your proper results. So today we want to see Islam in the eyes of the people. No, with the eyes of Islam, look at the conditions, what is happening. Then we'll see what are the wrong and the rights in society. And if you want to see with the eyes of the time, we want to see Islam, we'll see Islam is too rigid. Islam is too strict. And then the common thing which are on the tongues of the people, that these alims, they are too, what they call? Too orthodox. And they are too strict. And some big alims, they going to this extent to say that Maulana Thanvi rahmatullah alayhi was too strict in his teaching. And with the balance of the teaching, what a balanced teaching of Maulana Thanvi rahmatullah. But we are looking at it with the wrong eyes. So when we are controlled by our anger controls us. Bakegi phir zuba wahi tabahi. Then the tongue, it's unbelievable what it speaks. Those swear words come, if there was a swear word dictionary, fortunately, hopefully there isn't. But if there was one, then those words won't be even in that dictionary. When a person is so angry, Allahu Akbar, what and what a person. Allah forgive us that we have to listen to this also. One time some friends, when their father was very angry, they recorded him. And they sent the recording. But I didn't even open it, didn't even listen to it. But they said that you can't believe that this man is, this is his words, what are coming out from his mouth. And that is mine and your condition. Let us not think of other people. When a person is angry, what and what he speaks, he himself can't believe it afterwards. I spoke this? No, it's impossible. I don't even know. You'll say a jinn took possession of me. And the jinn was talking all these things. And sometimes these people speak in another language also. They say, I don't know that language also. But this anger is a terrible thing. So that is also what we have to work. How much do we think whether my anger, I'm in control of my anger, or is my anger in control of me? We know that any person, if he's controlled by somebody, he can't do what he wants to. And if anger is controlling you, anger is your boss, anger is your ruler, then what will be your condition? So that also we have to see whether the deen is coming into us, whether we are in control of our anger, whether we are, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, amsik alayka lisanak, control your tongue. See that you know what you are talking. Such an important teaching. Haseena se agar milna na chhora, nahi pahunchega darbar ilahi. If you won't stop meeting with beauties of the world, street woman at the workplace, talking, joking, phone calls, now SMSs, messages, etc., all that on WhatsApp, everything, sending all, just a joke also, but you want to win the favors of that woman. And all that, and if you don't stop that, you won't reach the court of Allah. If you want to reach the court of Allah, and you want that enjoyment of in Jannah, to be in the presence of Allah, for that, you'll have to give up this beauties which are around you. How many of us function, family function, social function, Eid day, some other occasion, the whole family must sit together and eat. And good parents, or good people in the family, five time namazi, they say, if one person wants to make parda and doesn't want to sit with the whole family, you are breaking the unity. Today unity has become such a cheap thing and used all in the wrong things, that you are breaking the unity. What unity can there be in batin? In breaking the laws of Allah, how can there be unity? That person has to be praised. And then they make a mockery and they say, you sit under the table and eat. You don't want to see also, you sit under the table and you sit and eat there. So anyway, this mixing with this beauty. And today the sad case is in our madrasas, especially the maktabs, even our girls' darul ulooms, interviewing the parents when a girl wants to come in, enroll, etc. No parda, talk in front of them. The girl is sitting there, her mother is sitting there, and directly many imams, they mix with the woman in the town freely. And that is a very good imam, broad-minded, big-hearted, and he talks and he makes jokes also with us. That is a very good imam. In many country towns, the imam is for everything. For qurbani, the imam. To slaughter fowls, the imam. Everything, the imam. And he mixes with the woman freely. All this is complete shaitaniyat. But Hazrat says, if you don't leave that, you can give beautiful talks on Jummah and talks of great love of Allah, but you won't reach the court of Allah. You won't even get a little smell of the court of Allah Ta'ala. وَهِي پہنچا ہے دربارِ خدا میں ملی ہے جس کو آہِ سحر گاہی. Only that person has reached Allah Ta'ala and found Allah and the love of Allah. Who got up at the time of Sahar, Tahajjud time, and tears come out of his eyes, and he is in connection, he will reach the court of Allah Ta'ala, and he will know what the closeness of Allah Ta'ala is. A person can be, Hazrat says, Laak Fazil Bane Ho Tum, Alim Bane Ho Tum, you became a great Alim, a great Fazil, everything, but if you did not find the love of Allah, you found nothing whatsoever. All that knowledge of yours are only alphabets. They're only words and phrases and sentences, paragraphs and compositions. You have got no idea what the love of Allah Ta'ala is. Allama Yusuf bin Nuri rahmatullah alayhi, he writes that he went for Hajj. And he found where they were staying, there was one person who was a retired army officer. And he was always before Hazrat for Tahajjud, he went to the Haram. So Hazrat said, I'm Ustadul Asatiza. So many ulama are under me, who graduated under me. I'm big Shaykhul Hadith. I'm a graduate of Darul Uloom Deoband. I'm a student of Allama Shah Kashmiri. And this ordinary man, he is before me in Tahajjud. How is it? And Hazrat felt very guilty. So he decided to get up more earlier. He got up more early and he saw in the bed that he's still sleeping. He said, today I've beaten him. He went for his toilet, etc. And when he came out from toilet, that person stood with a cup of hot tea for Hazrat. So Hazrat said, who are you, a jinn or a human being? You are sleeping now and now you are standing with a hot cup of tea for me? So he laughed and he said, I went already long ago for Tahajjud. But one Haji Sahib who came, he was very ill, and I took pity on him, and I couldn't tolerate it. So I brought him and I made him sleep in my bed. It wasn't me sleeping, it was that Haji Sahib. Now what his level is, his Tahajjud, his Khidmat, who will do all this? And now he went and he brought a hot cup of tea for Hazrat. Then Hazrat asked him, you're a retired general, you're an ordinary person, you know Alim, Hafiz or anything like that. Me, I'm a Shaykhul Hadith, I'm a Ustadul Asatiza, and what all, but you, how you beat me, what is this? So he said, Hazrat, I became bayat to Hazrat Maulana Shah Ahmad Ali Lahori. This is the effect of it. On that, Hazrat said that when a person makes contact with the ulama and the pious, then Allah, even an ordinary person, who perhaps even, though it's not right, but he can't read Quran Sharif properly, he will also become such a great wali. But we have to learn our deen, the basic, the necessary thing, where a person will reach. So this is what we have to get. Not just a matter of coming here, or that we are part. Alhamdulillah, it's all good. But we must see what is the actual object. Even a student just becoming an alim is not enough. They may be doing 4 months in Jamaat, and doing 2 years and 3 years in Jamaat is also nothing, until this deen comes into our life. ہوئے ہیں رند کتنے اولیاء بھی ذرا دیکھو تو فیض خانقاہی. People who are اولیاء, Hey, they are awliya. But where they reached also by the barakat of the khanqah. When a person makes his niyat and understands what is a khanqah, what is a darul ulum, what is tabligh jamaat, then where you will reach, you can't believe where that person will reach. So this is what we have to strive for. Khula kya raaz sultane bakht par, faqiri li hai, deke taaj shahi. What secret opened on the king of Balkh? That is Ibrahim ibn Adham rahmatullah alayh. He was the king, and everything as a king, what hasn't he got under him? Everything. But which secret opened on him that he gave his kingdom away and he decided to become a poor pauper, just living in the jungle. And what Allah gave him. When he went to the jungle, there was another person also, a great wali of Allah. And Allah should give him every day dal roti. Roti with dal to eat. When Ibrahim ibn Adham came, Allah sent biryani of Jannat. And the fragrance of it, the whole aroma, the whole jungle got filled with it. So that person complained to Allah, Ya Allah, I am here for how many years? I am still just getting dal roti. This man just came today. And this biryani for him, Allah said, you sacrificed, you had your sickle and your string. You should cut grass, tie it with your string and go and sell it. You sacrificed that and you came here. I gave you dal roti. He sacrificed the whole kingdom. And so I honor him with this biryani. And if you want to, leave everything and go and take your sickle and your string again and go and sell grass again. So this is when a person sacrifices. So Sultan, and how many other instances, what and what Allah blessed him with. Ghiza is nafse sarkash ki to kam kar. Na kha har roz zalim murkho mahi. Another very important thing, our food that we eat. Hazrat is speaking, the type of food, very delicious, that exotic type of food. Murkho mahi, chicken every day, and fish every, in other words, very good food. And today, unfortunately, that is our standard menu. If there isn't chicken, there isn't meat, then if there is only veggies, what's wrong? Where's the meat? If there is a dal that is cooked, is a swear word. How many people, if the mother has cooked dal, then the children, how they pull up their face, what remarks they will make. And not only the children, but we also. So our normal diet has become that which we should be occasionally, now and then. But that is our normal diet. So Hazrat says, zalim. That a friend who you have feeling for and is doing wrong, you tell him a zalim, is not the literal sense, in the figurative sense, that don't eat every day this rich food. Today, as some ulama say, 10th of Muharram, to spend more on the family. They say there is absolutely no need. You are spending more than enough every day. Spend on the poor and the needy. No, other ulama have got different views. But some ulama of the view that we are eating every day so rich food, our normal food, and then the 4 o'clock tea with the biscuits and the cakes and the rich things in there, our normal food every day. So many, the desserts, how many plates of desserts are regular also. So all that, Hazrat says, stop that. Make it less. Come down to simple food. That also we have to check ourselves. And today it's not only a matter of simple food. The house food is no more good enough for us. Now the dirty junk food of the takeaways, without that we are not satisfied. And until we eat all that filthy food, only then our stomach. So a dirty utensil can tolerate dirty. A clean utensil cannot tolerate dirty food. If our stomachs are clean, then this dirty food and haram, doubtful food, how many buzur, the morsel of haram just could not go down their throats. They could not tolerate it. The body couldn't. The body should repel it. But today that's our normal food. And we can't stay without it. And yet we are pious. In our eyes, we regard ourselves as pious people. And we find fault with the other people. Hey, we are looking at those who are not making namaz and we are finding fault with them. Those who are going to all the wrong places, we are finding fault with them. Our own faults, we are perfect. We got no faults whatsoever. جو اہل دل کی صحبت میں رہے گا وہی پائے گا بس عشق الہی. اینڈ سم ٹوٹل آف آل دس ٹو کم از ٹو اسٹے ود دوز ہوا اہل دل کی, دوز پیپل ہوا پیپل آف دا ہارٹس. وی آل گاٹ ہارٹس ہوز ہارٹس آر الائیو. ون گریٹ بزرگ وینٹ ٹو اے فیملی اینڈ ہی کڈ سی آن دا وال دا سائنز آف زنا اڈلٹری. Those people were not committing zina, but they were watching it on the TV. And on the TV, all the time these things, not the open zina, the final thing, but all the things that lead up to it are all the time on there. The effect of that, he could see clearly on the walls. The ulama write that a person who has purified his heart, he can see this very clearly. Just like a fire burns against a white wall, the smoke of it, and everyone can see. Like that, a person whose heart is clean, he can notice all this very easily. The pure hearts of the Muslims, the white hearts, and all the zina and all this haram, you can see it very clearly. So if we stay in the company of the Ahle Dil, then we are the people of the heart whose hearts are purified, whose hearts are connected with Allah Ta'ala, then we will find a solution to all. We will at least recognize these diseases. Today, when you want to go for treatment, the first thing, do this test, that test, how many blood tests, how many other tests the doctor will put you through. Now you can at least recognize your disease. And then the treatment of it will come afterwards. So we don't even recognize we are all right. We, and all of us, we are doctors. We are advising other people. And we are telling other people, and we don't know I'm sick myself. If the doctor knows I'm sick, before he treats his patients, he'll go for his treatment. He'll tell the patients, all, cancel all appointments. I'm sick myself. I need treatment. But we've seen faults in all other people. And we don't see our own faults. I am all right. So that is what is required. And that will be the solution to everything. Mili akhtar jisse nisbate khuda ki mitadi usne bahi aur jahi. Hadrat says, and just if Allah puts it in my heart, in all of us, that person who found, and he will find it through the company of the Ahle Dil. And who are these people? Who your heart tells you. Question your heart. Think of it, that who is a real Allah Wala. And Allah will always keep Allah Wala present. They will be there. So you ask your heart, who is it? Where can I go? And the answer will come to you. And from there you will get Nisbat-e-Khuda, connection with Allah Ta'ala. And then see, your namazes won't only become easy, it will be a pleasure. Not to be coming to the masjid will be a source of sorrow. Today when we find an excuse, according to us, a proper excuse that I can't go masjid today, we are happy. Today I can't get up for tahajjud, it's alright. But then you will cry, I couldn't get up for tahajjud. You will cry, I couldn't go to the masjid. When death and enjoyment come, Nisbat-e-Khuda, this we will get from those Allah Wala. Then that person, mitadi usne bahi aur jahi, he has completely and he annihilated, completely removed, crushed all the bimaris, which are two in essence. Bahi, all our lust, our desires, our carnal desires. Or jahi, pride, name, people must praise me, people must look up to me. These two are the sources of all the other diseases. If a person does this, he will get that, the Nisbat-e-Khuda. And Nisbat-e-Khuda will come from Ahle Dil, those people who have got Allah in their heart. May Allah Ta'ala bless us with these realities and bring it into our lives and understand that coming to the Khanqah, running the Khanqah, everything is not just for the sake of the programs taking place, arrangements being made, but that deen becoming in our lives. And deen starts with Tawheed, La ilaha illallah, and it ends with La ilaha illallah. That just to say La ilaha illallah, and when the reality of La ilaha illallah, and that is when we make our zikr properly, then the reality of La ilaha illallah will come to us. And a salik starts his journey with La ilaha illallah and ends his ruju ilal the nihaya, the end of this journey is the bidaya, the starting of the journey. Like you run a race, the way you start your race, the end of the race is at the same point to me. Now you have completed and you ran and you came first and you are the first there, you are the winner. So yeah, also with La ilaha illallah we start and we end again with now that La ilaha illallah that is full, that is not an, like small children we learn kalimas in the madrasa and we all shouted at the top of our voices when we were reading kalima, La ilaha illallah, every day with the ustad. But now when you have completed this journey, again you are reading La ilaha illallah, but with a full of meaning now. Now it's not an empty bag of La ilaha illallah, very full bag. May Allah bless us with this reality.